Hey, everybody, this is Tom Sharpling, and welcome to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. Basically, this is a podcast we're going to do every other week, giving you a bite-sized version of all the mirth and mayhem that goes on every week on the best show on WFMU. So please check out this exciting clip. FMU, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering if you could play something from the new Lovely Boys CD.
Lovely Boys?
Yeah.
I don't think I have that.
Okay, how about something by the Craigs?
Who's that?
The Craigs?
The Craigs. I don't think I have that.
Ted Jacobs and the Now?
I don't think I have that.
Sherbert Falls?
No, I don't think I have that.
The album?
Don't have it.
The Sleestaks?
No.
How about Denny Leonard and the Lemons?
No.
September Gurgles?
No.
The Zoom?
No.
How about Darren Robbins and the Rockstars?
No.
Sugar Pie 4?
No.
The Bengals?
No.
Failure Time?
No.
All right, how about Witchy Poo?
No.
Can you cue up something by I Love You, the Ghost of Ambie Davis?
No, I don't have that.
How about the Menthols?
No.
Larry Neville and the Fun?
No.
Bam Bam?
No.
Candy-coated Sugar Smacks?
No, I don't have that.
All right, well, just cue up something by Rick and the Backers.
I don't have that either.
Well, just play anything by any of the bands who are going to be at the festival this weekend.
What festival?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. What festival?
Poptastrophe 2007.
What is that? Poptastrophe?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I'm not. I think I might have seen a flyer for
I'm
that.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of flyers for it.
But I don't think I've ever been to one of those things, like those pop festivals.
Oh, it's great. It's this huge power pop fest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's happening in Newbridge down by the dock.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be bigger than the Paisley Pop Pop-a-thon last year in Des Moines. And it's definitely going to make January's Popadelphia Pop Nation Fest look like Poptopia 2002.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What a disaster that was, huh?
I guess so. I don't know.
You don't remember?
No, I wasn't there.
You read about it, though.
No, not really.
Yeah, Mick Rain missed his flight and didn't even get there until the Bill Bixbys were finishing their set.
Who is that? Mick?
Mick Rain.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
The drummer for the Pez Band.
Okay, I know I've heard of the Pez Band.
Okay. Well, anyway, the fest runs from Friday morning. There's going to be this big kickoff breakfast buffet at Captain's Donuts.
Sure, sure.
And it's going to go till late Sunday night, where there's going to be this big post-festival buffet at Captain's Donuts.
Okay, well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be good, yeah. You should come down.
You know, that's not really my thing.
What do you mean?
Like power pop stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I like power pop. I like it, you know, fine. But there's that kind of thing where it's just too much of it, and it's not my thing, and that music gets very samey, you know, when you're getting it kind of shoveled at you.
Hey, you shouldn't say that stuff, something like that.
Why? It's how I feel.
What if Quad P heard you?
Quad P?
Yeah.
Who is Quad P?
Power Pop Pop Pop.
Power Pop Pop Pop?
Yeah.
Who is Power Pop Pop Pop?
He's putting on Poptastrophe 2007. You know who he is.
I have no idea who
he's
that
is. He's like the number one power pop guy in America. He considers himself like the president of power pop, and he lives here in Newbridge. You've seen him around town.
Well, what does he look like?
Well, he's that older guy with the super dyed black Beatles haircut and those really kind of tight pants, and he wears that vintage Knack t-shirt.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he rides around town in that sidecar.
Yeah.
It's just a sidecar. It's almost like one of those soapbox derby things.
Yeah.
Like it's not motorized or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does he go uphill in that?
That's the thing. His whole life is basically built around going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I saw him once at the CD Submarine. Kind of.
Let me guess what he was buying.
I remember him yelling at someone.
He was. He was telling me this story about recently. I guess he went there and there's some new like remastered Greg Kin, you know, pre Jeopardy stuff. You know, like the mm-hmm. when he was you know, he played like a teardrop guitar and he was pretty, you know, he was living it. He was doing it. The double P.
Sure.
And I guess there's some new remastered thing.
Wait, the what?
Double P.
What is the double P?
Power Pop.
Oh, is okay. The double P, Power Pop.
Yeah. And I guess the guy was supposed to hold him one, and he didn't have it anymore, and he said he went off. He said he actually tried to throw the guy through that, like, porthole.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, yeah.
So, I think I know the guy you're talking about.
He, basically, his story is he saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan when he was, like, 14,
mm-hmm.
and it completely changed him. He was on the track to be, you know, like a engineer, that sort of thing, you know,
uh-huh.
like very, you know, middle-of-the-road kind of guy. But when he saw that, it was all over, and he became addicted to, like, Beatles-esque rock and roll and pop.
Uh-huh.
It just consumed him.
Hmm.
And then for years, he put this zine out, which you probably saw when you were growing up. It was called Keep the Beat.
No, I don't think so.
Like a fanzine. You know, he says he's the only person ever to publish a career-spanning retrospective on Dave Smalley.
I know that name. Dave Smalley.
You should. You have a radio show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize because I have a radio show that's primarily a talk show, that I'm supposed to be some sort of power pop encyclopedia.
Well,
who is that again?
The bassist from the Raspberries.
That's right. I knew he was in the Raspberries.
Dummy.
Again, I'm sorry.
He actually played in bands also in the 60s through the 90s.
Uh-huh.
All over the Quint Cities. The Need, The Hurt, what were some other ones? The Yes, The No, The Maybe. Nothing really took off, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Except for the Raspberries. Oh, no, Power. Oh, you're not talking about Dave Smalley.
No.
You're talking about Power Pop, Pop Pop.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which, I got to say, I think I die a little bit whenever I say Power Pop, Pop Pop.
Why?
It's just Pop Pop?
Yeah.
That's his, like, so he's Power Pop, Pop
Pop. You know how, like your grandfather.
Okay, now it's a little worse now, somehow, that I'm picturing it as he calls himself Pop Pop. Is he a grandfather?
No, he's single.
Okay.
Never been married at all, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But, so his band kind of didn't really take off, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, he's set for life, you know, doesn't really have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds pretty, like he's into it. He's doing the festival, and that mm-hmm. good for him.
Yeah. You know who his dad is?
No.
Reginald Fleer?
Reginald Fleer, who is that?
The detective. Super rich. He's the guy that consulted on those huge mob cases back mm-hmm. in the mid-80s.
Okay.
Remember when Carmine Robitello tried to take down Freddy the Hot Dog Machine Kleinfarber?
You know, I follow that stuff only peripherally.
Well, there was that big shootout at the ice hole.
Uh-huh.
That Italian ice stand on Pancake Avenue?
Yeah, okay.
And Officer Harrop's father, Mayor Harrop's at the time,
mm-hmm.
gave that okay to drop the big crate of old grenades on everyone and left that big crater?
That's one of the only things that I guess Newbridge is known for outside of our area.
I know. And that's why I, for one, am glad that they filled up that big hall with colored marbles and paved it over.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about bad memories.
Yeah, it's good to move on at a point.
But anyway, Quad P's father, I'm pretty sure he even consulted on the first couple seasons of Columbo. Like, he was that big a deal back when even before that. And since then, he's been referenced a lot on that that show on the Shout Network, The Goombas.
I don't watch that, actually.
They talk about him in there sometimes, or they'll reference him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I should check that out more.
You know, you should check out also.
What's that?
Power Pop Pop Pop's mansion.
His mansion.
Yeah, he's in that huge house on Newbridge Mewis.
I'm sorry?
What?
Newbridge what?
Mewis.
What is I don't know what that is. What is spell that for me?
M-E-W-S.
Muse?
Is that how you say it?
Newbridge M-E-W-S. Muse.
I've been saying it Mewis for my entire life.
Well, it's Muse.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's all right. You know, I guess everybody makes like a things like that that you don't realize you were doing.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. He actually calls it the Power Pop Palace.
Power Pop 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 does.
Yeah. You know how when you go into someone's house and sometimes they'll be like, you got to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
If you want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
He's like that too.
Okay.
But then he makes you put on a pair of Beetle boots.
Really?
Yeah. He has them in almost every size imaginable. He's even got a pair of 14.5s in case any pro ballers come over.
In case any pro basketball players who are into power pop decide to swing by.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess he's nothing if not prepared.
You know what else he is?
What?
You didn't hear it from me, but he's a little tough to be around.
Power pop 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 is.
I mean, really tough.
Really tough? Like, how so?
Well, I've actually had a couple glasses of wine.
Okay.
So maybe I'm a little more loose-lipped than I should be.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, he calls himself Power Pop Pop Pop, you know, kind of like a lovable grandfather.
Yeah.
But he's more like this Power Pop dictator.
A Power Pop dictator.
Yeah, and actually a lot of people in the Power Pop community here, they call him Pol Pop behind his back.
Pol Pop?
Yeah, like the Cambodian dictator.
Yeah, like Pol Pot.
Exactly.
But Pol Pop.
Yeah.
Because he's like a Power Pop dictator. Now, how does one become a Power Pop dictator?
He just sort of assumed this role. I mean, he knows all about, you know, I mean, he's lived this stuff for his entire life. I mean, he will go to Japan. He'll buy a ticket that day if he sees that there's this ultra rare Brahm Tchaikovsky 7-inch.
Sure.
And he'll go and get it.
He'll go all the way the other side of the world.
Absolutely, yeah.
So he's got that kind of money.
Oh yeah. So, you know, people respect that, you know.
Because of his father.
Well, yeah, I mean technically.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's so by the book when it comes to power pop.
Like, give me an example.
Well, it's like Big Star is actually a little too out there for him.
Really?
He likes like In the Street or El Goodo, September Girls.
Uh-huh.
That's about it, though. The other stuff he considers art rock.
Art rock?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He sounds pretty stringent.
He is. His idea of the perfect pop song is this song called You're My Baby by this band called The Children. I'd never heard of them either.
Yeah, that's, you got me.
They made one record back in 79 for Bomp.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, this song, which is buried in the middle of side two, is like his idea of the perfect song. It sounds kind of like that Paul Collins beat song, Rock and Roll Girl.
Okay.
I wanna be with a rock and roll girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he considers that to be the ultimate pop song.
Yeah, and he gets down on
power pop.
Exactly, on bands who deviate from what he calls textbook power pop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But what is the big deal? I mean, if you aren't fitting his vision of the world, I guess that's his loss.
I know, but he's so sort of powerful in this world, this power pop scene,
uh-huh,
that he can do it, you know. And
mm-hmm.
But the problem is also that he pays all these bands so well when he puts on these festivals.
Okay.
Like, because he's so rich, nobody wants to really ruffle his feathers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's actually paying me to make this call right now.
Really?
Yeah.
How much?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, just give me an idea.
Well, I'm calling all the local radio stations to get them to play the bands that are playing.
Oh, so this was just a promotional call.
Well, yeah. I'm getting like 7,000, okay?
7,000 for what? For how many calls?
I'm going to tell them that I made like 100 and something.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, how many?
My first one, though.
How many are you going to make?
Probably just this one. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much, he has a lot of control over the whole scene.
Absolutely, you know, and I'll be honest, man, I mean, I'm really not even that into the stuff anymore. I used to be.
Uh-huh.
But this whole power pop stuff has kind of tainted it for me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Like it just makes you not enjoy the music as
absolutely,
much?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and this whole thing with Robbie Wrist.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, he is the...
He was Cousin Oliver.
Yes, yes.
On the Brady Bunch.
And I know he's involved in a lot of that world. I think I saw something. He's like a drummer or something?
He's a multi-instrumentalist. Big power pop supporter.
Yeah. I mean, is he involved in this thing? Is he like emceeing it or something?
No. No. See, he and Power Pop had a falling out.
Really?
Yeah.
So Robbie Wrist,
right,
and Power Pop,
yeah,
don't get along.
Not at all. No. See, Quad P felt slighted when Robbie didn't ask him to be part of this documentary he was making about Dwight Twilley.
Okay.
And in return, Quad P didn't ask Robbie for comments for the oral history he's putting together on that song "Shake Some Action."
An oral history of what? The Flaming Groovies?
Yeah. The okay. song.
What do you mean? I lost you there. What the name of the book is? Shake Some Action.
Yeah.
And it's so what? So he's writing. So God help me for saying this. Quad P is writing an oral history about the Flaming Groovies.
No, it's about the one song.
The whole book.
Yeah. Why?
Well, how long of a book can that be?
It's like 1,200 pages or so.
1,200 pages?
Yeah.
About one song?
Yeah.
Shake Some Action?
Yeah.
1,200 pages?
Yeah. I know.
That's just nuts.
Well, it's part of his series. You know those 33 and a third books?
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But just about singles. It's called 45 RPM.
Okay, but those books are like 100 pages long.
Yeah, these aren't.
So he's taking something that's about... Those are usually 100 pages long, and they're about an entire album. His book is, you said, 1,200 pages long?
Oh, an average or so, yeah.
And it's about one song.
Right.
And is that the first one he's writing?
No, he's done like five or six already under different names. But, I mean, he writes them all. One for Go All the Way... Where Have You Been All My Life?
Mm-hmm.
By Photomaker.
Sure.
Surrender, Day Tripper, She's Got It by The Chords.
Full books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you read any of these books?
No. I mean, I've tried. We actually joke with him that Vincent Bugliosi, he better watch out, you know, because he's encroaching.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that book? His new book on the Kennedy assassination?
No.
It's like 1,600 pages.
Really?
Yeah, so we joke with him about that. But he doesn't laugh, though.
He doesn't find that very funny.
You know what? Come to think of it, I've never seen him laugh or smile.
I thought that power pop was supposed to be like a fun kind of music.
Oh, no.
It's not?
Not for him. I mean, in theory, you'd think, but yeah. He takes it very serious. I once saw him spank a guy in that band, The Records.
Yeah?
Because he heard him talking about a sitar. Not playing one.
What do you mean he spanked him?
He spanked him. He put him over his knee. He's big.
But he's... unbelievable.
Yeah.
So this guy puts an adult over his knee because he heard a guy in a power pop band talk about an instrument...
Yeah.
...that has nothing to do with power
pop. Exactly.
According to his definition.
Exactly. And if you look at the list of bands, there's not a keyboard in any band... and there's not anything resembling, like, anything what he calls drug-related, like a sitar or violins or cellos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's all just...
Guitar, mm-hmm. bass, drums. That's it.
What about if it's just like a trio?
They're all
quartets.
Quartets, yeah.
Wow, he's pretty tough.
Yeah. He once tried to throw Bill Janovitz from Buffalo Tom out of a window.
Well, Buffalo Tom, that's not even power pop.
I know. I mean, that's what they've always said, but he told them that they were a disgrace to power pop.
But they're not power pop.
Don't tell me that. The worst, though, was when he attacked Nikki Dolenz.
From the Monkees.
Yeah.
And please tell me the story of that, because I have no love lost with Mickey Dolenz.
And really?
Me. Yeah.
What did he do to you?
He snubbed me at a party I was at.
Oh, okay.
What did he do to Power Pop Pop Pop?
Well, you know when they had that reunion tour?
Sure.
And it was big.
I think it was like 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Probably.
So, if you recall, Mickey Dolenz didn't really play a traditional drum set. He played one of those, what do they call them, like Simmons pads or something?
Yeah, like a stand-up.
Exactly,
thing
electronic drums.
Yeah, that he could be at the front of the audience and sing with a headset on.
Exactly. Well, when Power Pop 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 saw that drum set,
mm-hmm.
he lost it.
What happened?
Well, he got so mad that he ran up there and he shoved Mickey back, and then he grabbed the drums and started throwing them into the audience.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, it was bad, and he actually cut this one girl in the face.
With an electronic drum.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that's terrible.
Oh, it's awful. And then she ended up suing him, and he lost.
Power Pop 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 lost.
He did, and he had, like, a massive amount of money he had to pay. But then he ended up suing Nikki Dolenz, and he won.
On what grounds?
Well, Judge Davies ruled that Mickey was responsible
mm-hmm.
for Power Pop Pop's actions because mm-hmm. of how far Mickey had strayed from textbook pop.
And who made that ruling? Judge Davies?
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, that's not surprising.
Well, I mean, I know he's had some problems lately.
Well, so he convinced this guy, Power Pop Pop Pop,
mm-hmm.
convinced this judge that Mickey Dolenz, by playing with an electronic drum set on stage,
right,
strayed from the tenets of what, in his mind, is power pop.
Exactly, yeah.
So much that it his rage was justifiable.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
how much he got?
I think he got at least $800,000, I think.
Oh, my.
Maybe something like that.
From yeah. Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah.
Wow, that actually, I'm torn about that. That's like a lose-lose thing. I'm glad Mickey Dolenz lost. I'm not happy about whom the money went to.
Well, you know what the worst thing he does is?
What's that?
When he pops you.
What's that?
He pops you.
He pops you?
Yeah.
How does Power Pop 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 you?
He's got this little thing. It's like a weapon. And he calls it the popper.
Uh-huh.
It's like the size of like a little handgun, but it's shaped like a Rickenbacker bass.
The size of... Okay, I'm picturing
yeah.
that. All right.
And it basically, he pulls like a little trigger on it, and it shoots out these kind of like hard rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're these rocks that he makes out of garbage.
Like what? Like a garbage ball?
Yeah, like concentrated garbage, and he hardens them somehow, like in an oven or
oh
something.
My God.
And he shoots them at you, and it really hurts.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So he does that as... And what? Is he doing it... Like is it like to punish you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, doesn't anybody just say stop?
Not really. I mean, he's that powerful, you know. He also has this popper for women that's just plain awful.
I don't even want to hear about that.
Yeah. It's kind of like the lair too.
The what?
He has a lair.
A lair.
Yeah.
At the Pop Palace?
Yeah, I'm actually calling from there right now. I'm in his little office.
At the Power Pop Palace?
Yeah.
Now, please tell me about this lair.
Well, let's just say that our old friend from Philadelphia, Mr. Heidnik, has nothing on this guy.
Gary Heidnik.
Yeah.
Well, he was a murderer.
I know.
Ew.
I don't know. I don't think anything like that's going down there, but it's got a little dungeon vibe. It's not good.
Ugh.
It's disturbing.
Power pop, pop, yeah. Pop.
But it's not quite as disturbing as the fact that the Resistance are also playing Poptastrophe.
Who's playing it?
The Resistance.
I don't know who that is.
I don't think you want to know who they are.
Uh-huh. Is that like a new... Well, if they're playing it, they're approved by Power Pop Pop Pop.
Yeah, sort of.
Uh-huh. Well, why are you so hesitant about this band?
Well...
You got to get that?
Yeah, hang on. Hello? I am calling. I'm making calls all night. No, we've had a lot of good responses so far. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Okay, goodbye, sir. Yikes.
Wow.
He was mad.
I'm assuming that was Power Pop Pop Pop.
Yes, it was, yeah.
I'm sure he's not listening to this, or that would have gone very
exactly,
differently.
Yeah. He doesn't listen to the radio.
Because I can assume a chance he might hear something that's not Power Pop.
Exactly, and smash his car again.
Why would he smash his own car?
Well, you never know. He's so weird. He once heard he heard one of those Latter-day Greg Kinn songs on the radio. He got so mad that he literally shot his car off of a bridge.
Uh-huh.
He jumped out, of course. Yeah.
That's just... What?
I don't know. He went nuts. That's why he's only in the sidecar now.
This music is about fun and falling in love and having a good time and enjoying your life.
Well, you're not going to hear any of that when you listen to The Resistance.
What is The Resistance?
All right. They're a white power pop band.
What?
Yeah.
White power pop?
Yeah. It's a real dilemma for the power pop community because, you know, no one's into their message at all, you know. But to be honest, they're generally considered the best power pop band of the last 10 years.
You mean, like, in what way?
They're just phenomenal. I mean, it's like, they're just great. I mean, you would see this band, and they're head and shoulders above all the other bands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the lyrics, you know, I mean, it's like if Goebbels wrote lyrics for the Rubinews.
Oh.
They're on this label called Panzerfaust. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I actually have.
Yeah.
There's a little guy, he's like a little 2-inch guy who used to call the show.
I don't know about that, okay.
He was a fan of records on that label. What's that?
How'd you use a phone?
I remember, but I don't remember. I kind of block stuff like that out.
Okay.
So they're the Resistance.
Yeah.
So technically, they're good. Like, the songs are good?
Yeah, amazing.
But it's the lyrics.
Yeah.
Are just like white power lyrics.
Exactly, yeah. It's not good at all.
Uh-huh.
It's not good. Uh-oh.
But they're playing this thing?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I think I just heard the sidecar pull up.
Uh-huh. Hey, who else is playing this thing? A lot of the groups I like
right?
You know, in that vein, I guess guys like, you know, Tommy Keen or, you know, Velvet Crush or the Posies, you know.
Right.
Are those guys on this thing?
Oh, no. Those guys want nothing to do with this whole scene.
Really?
They think it's creepy, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think they really think Power Pop 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 is really creepy.
Yeah. Where would they get that idea?
I don't know. No, I do know. And I'm about to find out a little more. Because he's coming in right now. I gotta hang up in a second.
Okay.
Oh, right, he's got the popper. Ugh. All right, I may or may not see you this weekend.
Well, I won't be at the thing. I hope you're okay.
Okay. Ow! Sir! I'm sorry, I'm calling.
calling. More. Hang on. I'm going to call more.
Wow. The popper. I didn't even know what that guy's name was. That poor guy. Well, thank you for listening to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. If you like what you just heard, the full-length program is done each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen on your radio in the New York, New Jersey area at 91.1 FM or anywhere on the globe at WFMU.org. WFMU.org also has an extensive archiving of all the previous episodes of The Best Show. And you can get more information on the program over at friendsoftom.com. I want to thank a few people, if I could. Martin DeGrell, the producer and compiler of Best Show Gems. Thank you, Martin. Mel Matsuoka, who is the producer of the full-length 3-hour Best Show podcast each and every week, and the protector of the Best Show on WFMU archives. Thank you, Mel. John Worcester, obviously, thank you. Associate producer Mike, and everybody at WFMU, thank you so much. If you like what you just heard, check out the full-length show. You can download the podcast or listen live at WFMU.org.